Grace, the undeserved and unending love, and peace, a wholeness, a shalom to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who made himself nothing for us. Amen. Our sermon text for today is from our epistle reading, as we've been hearing from it the last few weeks, and we'll hear from it the next few weeks to come. The very promises of God, particularly St. Paul's words in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, which reads, "And I, when I came to you, brothers, did not come to you proclaiming the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom. For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." Will you pray with me, please? Let the words of my mouth and the thoughts of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. He's just a single guy who has no chance to ever be married. Oh, she's just lonely, done in by her depression. He's just an elderly man who can't really do anything for anyone. Oh, she's just a widow. He can't really help anyone with anything. Oh, that child with Down syndrome, or that one with mental or physical disability, they aren't even worth the pregnancy. That pastor, well, he's the most overeducated and underemployable person on the planet. Oh, and those Christians, yeah, they just medicate their hurts with these made-up ideas about a God who doesn't exist and are good for nothing. We know nothing. And it's not just the things that are out of our control that assail us. It's also those willful, hurtful, and sinful decisions that daily do us in. Paul reminds us of this in Romans chapter 7, verses 18 and 19, when he says, "For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but it is the evil I do not want, that is what I keep on doing. And if it is not the good that I do that I want, well, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me." After all that, maybe we are good for nothing. Those words would probably irreparably and terminally destroy most who hear them, but not St. Paul. He should know. He wrote them. As much as sin taints, tarnishes, and makes a travesty of our lives, for us who are in Christ, it does not completely define us. In fact, Paul relishes his weaknesses, revels in his struggles, and relies on the Lord in these difficult situations that undercut every person. He goes on to say in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 3 to 5, "And I came to you in much weakness and with fear and much trembling. And my speech and my message were not with plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith might not rest on the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." For a man who was sent out as an apostle, one sent from God, and a missionary who started many of the first churches on the northern edge of the Mediterranean Sea, it would seem as though Paul would have been one of the most accomplished speakers of his time. You know, we often think of Paul's prowess in the pulpit, but in reality, he was less than remarkable. When it comes to speaking superiority, he knew nothing. As he says in 1 Corinthians 2, verses 1 and 2, "And I, when I came to you, brothers, did not come to you proclaiming the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom. For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. The Corinthians must have nodded their heads in agreement when they heard Paul's letter. Oh yeah, I remember the Apostle Paul. That's right, the most bumbling, stumbling, stuttering, ineloquent, boring pastor and preacher. You know, no one quite like him could supply a good slumber or necessitate a need for a nap like good old Pastor Paul. When it came to preaching, Paul knew nothing except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Sometimes when we talk about our pastors, we might say, oh, you know, they're such good preachers. Paul says, forget it if he does not forge the way to the Father. You might say about a pastor, well, you know, I just love his sermons. Paul says, it doesn't matter if he does not supply the Spirit. When we think about our pastors, we might say, I just, you know, he has such a way with words. Paul says, big deal if he does not deliver the Word of God himself. If he does not deliver Jesus Christ, who not only knew nothing, but became, made himself nothing for us. Philippians 2, 6 and 7 says, Jesus, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, for our sake he made him who knew no sin, namely Jesus, to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. He became sin. He became nothing. Luke 23, 39 to 41 says, and one of the criminals who were hanged there railed at Jesus, saying, if you are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us. But the other rebuked him, saying, do you not fear God? Since we are under the same condemnation, and we indeed justly, for we are getting the due reward for our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong. Although not guilty, he was found innocent of nothing. The Lord of all creation, who made everything, the Word of God for every person, the healing of the nations, the Prince that brings peace to the world, the Lord above all, has become guilty, has become sin, has for you and me become nothing. And in Him, we know nothing except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. We know nothing except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Paul says, and I, when I came to you, brothers, did not come to you proclaiming the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom, for I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Our Lord's gift to us today is nothing more and nothing less than Himself, and we need nothing more. We long for nothing more. The Word of God today for you is also a paradox. You see, some would still say, well, all of us, our Lord and Savior, His church are just this small, little, marginal group of people that don't provide anything. They provide nothing, and in fact are good for nothing. We're like those fourth place finishers in the Olympics, right? They gave it a great go, but in the end they've got nothing to hold on to, nothing tangible for their efforts. Paul describes this beautiful paradox in 2 Corinthians 6, verses 8 through 10, saying, "We are treated as imposters and yet are true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold, we live, as punished and yet not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing everything. We have nothing except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." James 1 verses 2 to 4 says, "Count it all for joy, my brothers, whenever you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith develops and produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." We lack nothing in Jesus Christ and Him crucified. We know nothing except Jesus Christ and His name put on us in our baptism. God's renewing flood washing over us day after day, forgiven of our sins, called a child of the Lord, living in the Spirit, loving and serving our neighbor, all the while having been marked by Christ the crucified. We know nothing except Jesus Christ and His body and blood in the bread and wine, tasting of our Lord's goodness, savoring our Savior's sacrifice, and basking in the oneness of the body of Christ. And we long for nothing except Jesus Christ and His return, resurrecting the dead, restoring all of creation, and reuniting, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, an imperishable body and soul together forever with Him. Psalm 73, verses 23 to 25 says, "You have taken hold of my right hand, and with your counsel you will guide me, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And besides you on earth, I desire nothing." We long for nothing except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Hear it once again, my brothers and sisters. 1 Corinthians 2, 1 and 2. "And I, when I came to you, brothers, did not come to you proclaiming the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom. For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." Whether single, married, or widowed, whether depressed, melancholy, or happy, whether elderly, middle-aged, or young, whether living healthy or living with emotional, mental, or physical disability, we know nothing except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. The hope of the world, the promise of a future, the promise for today, the forgiveness of the past, God's good news for His people is nothing except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. All we are, all we do, all we have, all we know is all we need. And we, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, we know nothing except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.